engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "If someone has on his skin a scab or pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If the man is leprous and unclean, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, and shall muffle his beard. He shall cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as the sore is on him, he shall declare himself unclean, since he is in fact unclean. He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Blessed is he whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man to whom the Lord imputes not guilt, in whose spirit there is no guile. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. My guilt I covered not. I said, "I confess my faults to the Lord," and you took away the guilt of my sin. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you just. Exult, all you upright of heart. I turn to you, Lord, in time of trouble, and you fill me with the joy of salvation. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to the Jews or Greeks or the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia. A great prophet has arisen in our midst. God has visited his people. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. A leper came to Jesus, and kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything. But go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This second reading comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and In that letter, brothers and sisters, he is dealing with the question of eating and drinking. Particularly, a dispute had arisen over meat sacrificed to idols. The pagans would sacrifice meat to the false gods, and this meat would often find its way into the common market. And for Christians, of course, the question was, well, we don't believe in this pagan religion. We don't acknowledge those sacrifices. We know that their gods are false. Is it okay for us to eat the meat? Because other people seeing us do that might be scandalized. They might be upset. They might be offended. They might be led into sin themselves, thinking that we are doing something wrong and are okay with it. We've talked about this at length in other homilies, and Paul made clear to the people, look, we know that an idol is nothing. And so you are not doing anything wrong by eating the meat. But you would be doing something wrong by leading someone else into sin, weakening their conscience if they don't know better. We have to be sensitive to what would weaken the faith of others. And boy, do we need this sensitivity these days to what is called scandal. You know how easily it is within the church today that we'll make an argument that, well, something is right. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to do the other thing. Yeah, and we forget to ask another question. What impact is it having on those who don't know it's okay? Yes, we have to educate people, bring them along in their spiritual understanding of right and wrong. But we have to avoid scandal. This is the whole question of those in public life who claim to be Catholic and endorse abortion. It's like we've forgotten about scandal. We've forgotten about it. I'm talking about clergy as well as laity. We've forgotten about scandal. We make the justification, oh, it's okay, it's all right, it's okay. Well, first of all, it's not okay. And secondly, you're scandalizing others. But then Paul takes the eating and drinking question, and he now makes an assertion about that, but then extends and applies it to everything that we do. And this is the beautiful line in today's second reading. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God. And that's what I want to focus with you on for a few minutes today. Do everything for the glory of God. What does that mean? We want to, in everything we do, be somehow pointed to Him, reflecting Him, causing others to honor Him, to remember Him, to acknowledge Him, to thank Him, to rejoice in Him, to find Him, to understand Him. Everything that we say or do should be leading us and those around us closer to God. We acknowledge Him as Lord and God and the center of gravity of our lives. So doing everything for the glory of God. First of all, brothers and sisters, this is based in an understanding that everything exists for the glory of God. You read Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he talks about how everything was created through Christ and for Christ. Everything. So a child looks up at the sky, oh, why are the stars there? Or looks out at the seashore, why is the ocean there? The answer is, it's there for the glory of God. The Psalms say, the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything exists for the glory of God. So to say, do everything for the glory of God, is first of all an acknowledgement of why those things exist in the first place and why our actions exist in the first place. We live for the glory of God. Our very being reflects the glory of God. Human life is a manifestation of the glory of God, as St. John Paul II tells us in the beginning of Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life encyclical. We are a trace of His glory, the very existence of human life. And we are priests of creation, if you will. The mountains and the rivers and the oceans, they bless and praise God by their very existence, but they don't know it. We do know it, and so therefore we can say it, and we can make it a conscious, deliberate offering of praise to God. So it starts with that. Do all things for the glory of God. What that also means, first and foremost, is that we can't do anything that offends God. That's exactly the opposite, isn't it? If you want to do all things for the glory of God, that's another way of saying avoid evil. Resist sin. Resist it with all your being. There are certain things that we can never do. Doesn't matter how much of a good intention we might have. There are certain things that we can never do. There are the commandments. There are moral absolutes. We can never kill the innocent. We can never commit abortion. We can never commit blasphemy. We're not supposed to steal or commit adultery or lie or envy. Oh, you know, all the capital sins, and you know the commandments. Doing all for the glory of God means, okay, first of all, let's avoid the sin. But then it goes beyond that. All the ordinary acts that we perform, we can perform them not just for the immediate purpose for which we do them. Like, for example, buying milk. We buy milk because we need it in the refrigerator. We buy things for very legitimate purposes. We need them to feed ourselves, our families. So we do these ordinary things. Wash the dishes, vacuum the rug, fix the engine in the car, or whatever it is that we're doing. Or our leisure activities, go for a walk, or go boating, or watch a movie. So we take the activities that we're doing, and aside from the immediate purpose, well, I have to take care of my family, I have to work, I have to make money, I have to clothe myself, I have to cook. We say deliberately, and you can do this at the very beginning of the day, in your morning offering, in the prayer at the beginning of the day, say, Lord, everything I'm going to do today, I'm going to do for you. Now, we know why we're doing it. Again, we're buying milk because we need milk to drink. But we make it a spiritual offering to God. Lord, I'm going to do everything I do today for you. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to be thinking of that at every instant of the day, every time we do something. It doesn't mean that. Because if you make that intention at the beginning of the day and you say, Lord, everything I'm going to do today I'm doing for you, that holds even if later on we're not thinking about it. That holds. As long as we don't change our mind and take that back, it applies even if we're thinking about something completely other than God or our offering to Him. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful reality. So make that prayer every day. Renew it as often as you can during the day. Lord, I am doing everything today for your glory and for your honor. I'm doing it for you because I know you're here. I do it in thanksgiving because you're the one that gives me my food and my shelter and my work and my leisure and my family. You're the one that has given me all this, so I'm going to serve them because I love them, but I love you. Do all for the glory of God. You know, all situations that we are in, we can let them be stepping stones to God. Like I say, we don't have to be thinking about Him at every moment. But there are also ways that we can let the things around us make us think of Him and offer a prayer to Him. You walk into a restaurant, you walk into a grocery store, you go onto a social media platform. Lord, bless all the other people that are here. Beautiful, simple attitude of soul that we can have that going all the time. On a busy road, Lord, bless all the other drivers here on this road. I joke, I say, you know, if you're on a highway and, you know, you notice the traffic going in the other direction is all backed up, you know, you say, Lord, bless all those drivers, give them patience, and thank you that I'm on the other side. Everything can turn into a prayer. We hear a siren, you know, an ambulance or a fire truck. Oh, Lord, bless anybody who is in need right now, who is in danger. Save them and help them. Everything around us can become a prayer. And this is not done in some kind of, you know, nervous, anxious way or distract us from the things we need to do. No, pay attention to the things you need to do and do them well. But let it be a calm, gentle, ever-present attitude of soul, asking God's blessings on everything and everyone that's going on, asking His help for you and for others, and doing it all for the glory of God. You know, our doing everything for the glory of God sometimes also involves speaking about Him. The various documents of the Second Vatican Council, various documents of the popes about evangelization, the task of proclaiming the gospel, tell us that yes, we must live out the faith. That's the best way of passing it along, right? We give the power of example. But that actions alone do not suffice. People can see us doing good actions. For example, you know, think of Mother Teresa, whom I was privileged to know, and picking up the sick and the dying from the streets. You can see self-evidently that that's good example and that's good to do. But she would also talk to them about Jesus. And when we do good, when we're doing all for the glory of God, we've also got to be willing to tell people that. We've got to be willing to share with them the motive behind our good works. It's not enough. It's absolutely essential that example and deeds accompany our words. It's also essential the other way around, that words at times accompany and clarify the motive for the deeds. We've got to be proclaiming the gospel in word and action. Now, again, that doesn't mean we're talking about religious things all the time. It doesn't mean that. It means, however, that when there is the opportunity and sometimes the necessity to explain in a religious context what we're doing and why we're doing it, that we never shrink away from doing that. That we do it with love, with calm, with peace, with joy, with clarity. Religious life and spiritual life are two different things. Some of our activity as believers, like participating in this Mass right now, is explicitly religious activity. Saying a rosary, reading the Bible, explicitly religious activity. That's at certain times of our day. But spiritual life means, well, what Paul is talking about here, that everything without exception, every moment, every second of every day, all the choices we make, the thoughts we think, the words we say, the desires we nurture, it's either leading us closer to God or leading us farther away. We might not even be thinking of Him. But everything we do and say and think and desire, brothers and sisters, we're either getting closer to God or getting farther away from Him. We're either following His law or breaking it. We're either growing in grace or resisting grace. We're either doing everything for the glory of God or we're doing it for the glory of ourselves or some selfish purpose. Do all for the glory of God. What a beautiful thing. What it also means is, if He wants you to be in the spotlight, don't be afraid to be in the spotlight. If He wants you to be in some obscure, unknown place, don't be afraid of that either. The question is not, oh, well, I want to be up, you know, front and center, or I want to be quiet off to the corner. What we should want is whatever God needs us to do at that moment. Sometimes people are afraid to step up to leadership roles in the church, in the community, because they have this notion that it's more pleasing to God if they always stay behind the scenes. Well, some people are always called to be behind the scenes, but friends, if God is calling you to step up to the plate and exercise some leadership, or to be in the spotlight, or to step up to the podium, or to be known to others, don't miss the opportunity of serving Him, because it is equally pleasing to Him for you to be at the forefront if He's calling you to do so, as it is for you to be in the background. It all has to do with, Lord, what do You need me to do right now? How do You need me to serve Your people? Because I'm not looking for glory and praise and fame. but neither will I refuse it if this is what is serving you and your kingdom, if this is your will for me at this moment. Do all for the glory of God. That, brothers and sisters, is our happiness, our fulfillment, our salvation. That's the message today in this reading from St. Paul. Let's do it. Let's rejoice. Let's proclaim the faith. Let's bring others to Christ. And let's let Him be every day the one that we honor in all we think, say, and do. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.